Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Great Awakening, Defeating the Globalists and Launching the Next Great Renaissance by Alex Jones is a polemical work of political commentary that follows from his earlier anti-globalist arguments. The book presents Jones's interpretation of contemporary politics, technology, censorship, public health policy, and international institutions as parts of a coordinated effort by powerful elites to centralize authority and reduce individual autonomy. Its purpose is not neutral political history or academic policy analysis, but a direct appeal to readers already concerned about government overreach, media control, and the weakening of national sovereignty. Jones frames the Great Awakening as a counter-movement in which citizens become aware of these alleged systems of control and participate in a broader cultural and political renewal. The book stands within the alternative media and populist political genre, combining warning, ideological critique, and activist exhortation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the globalist framework as the book's organizing explanation of power. The central framework of the Great Awakening is Jones's claim that global politics is best understood through the actions of globalists, a term he uses for elites. Multinational institutions, financial powers, and political actors he sees as aligned around centralized control. Rather than treating events as isolated policy disputes, the book interprets them as interconnected signs of a larger project. This structure gives the work its internal coherent censorship, economic pressure, technological surveillance, public health measures, and borderless governance are presented as different expressions of the same underlying agenda. The reasoning is political rather than academic. Jones assumes that concentration of power tends to produce coordinated efforts to manage populations, and he uses that assumption to connect otherwise separate issues. For supporters, this creates a broad explanatory map for anxieties about modern institutions. For critics, the same method is a limitation, because it can move quickly from suspicion of power to sweeping conclusions without the evidentiary standards expected in conventional political analysis. Secondly, free speech and censorship as signs of a contested information order. A major concern in the book is the struggle over information. Jones presents censorship, deplatforming, and control of public narratives as core mechanisms by which powerful institutions maintain influence. The argument is not limited to formal government censorship. It also includes corporate media, technology platforms, and cultural gatekeepers that shape what ideas can circulate publicly. In this framing, free speech is not only a civil liberty, but the precondition for resisting elite control. The book's emphasis on information control reflects Jones's own position as an alternative media figure, whose public career has been defined by conflict with mainstream institutions and digital platforms. Analytically, this makes the topic one of the book's most grounded political concerns because debates over platform moderation, misinformation, and speech rights are real and ongoing. The controversial element lies in how Jones interprets these conflicts. He treats them as evidence of a deliberate anti-freedom project, whereas many critics see them as disputes over accountability, public harm, and private platform governance. Thirdly, national sovereignty presented as a defense against centralized global governance. The book links individual liberty to national sovereignty, arguing that citizens retain meaningful political control only when power remains accountable within national borders. Jones portrays global institutions, transnational policy coordination, and elite forums as threats because they can influence domestic life without direct democratic consent. This theme places the book within a broader populist and nationalist critique of globalization. Its reasoning is that decisions about law, economics, health, energy, and speech become less accountable as they move away from local voters and toward international bodies, corporate networks, or bureaucratic systems. The emphasis is less on technical policy detail than on political legitimacy, who has the authority to decide, and whom do they answer to. This gives the book a clear ideological stance. It treats sovereignty as a practical safeguard against centralized rule, not merely as a symbolic attachment to nationhood. Readers sympathetic to national self-determination may find this argument compelling, while critics may regard it as insufficiently attentive to problems that require international cooperation. Fourthly, human autonomy framed against technological and biological control. Another important dimension of the book is its concern that modern technologies and policy systems can extend control into the most personal areas of life. Jones connects surveillance, digital infrastructure, medical policy, and population management to the broader claim that elites seek not only political obedience but influence over human behavior and even human biology. This theme reflects a recurring anxiety in contemporary political writing. Technological systems can make governance more efficient while also making monitoring and coercion easier. Jones's treatment is more adversarial than technocratic. He emphasizes the dangers of centralized databases, digital currencies, biometric systems, and institutional pressure. presenting them as tools that could restrict freedom if controlled by unaccountable actors. The strength of this theme is that it identifies a real modern tension between convenience, security, public policy, and autonomy. Its weakness is that the book often places those tensions inside a conspiratorial framework, which may reduce its persuasive force for readers seeking careful distinctions between plausible risk, bad policy, and intentional domination. Lastly, The Great Awakening as a call for cultural and political resistance. The title concept, The Great Awakening, functions as the book's positive counterpoint to its warnings. Jones does not present readers only with a diagnosis of elite control. He argues that growing public skepticism can become the basis for a new renaissance of freedom, speech, local accountability, and resistance to centralized power. This gives the book the structure of a mobilizing text rather than a detached analysis. Awareness is treated as the first practical step. Once people recognize the alleged mechanisms of control, they can challenge official narratives, protect civil liberties, support alternative channels of information, and resist policies they view as coercive. The language of Renaissance is significant because it frames opposition not merely as protest but as renewal. Jones suggests that societies can recover creativity, independence, and civic courage by rejecting managed consensus. This is also where the book most clearly reveals its intended audience. It speaks to readers who already distrust mainstream institutions and are looking for a unifying framework that turns that distrust into political identity and action. In conclusion, The Great Awakening is most relevant for readers who want to understand Alex Jones's current anti-globalist worldview in a concentrated written form, especially those interested in alternative media, populist politics, censorship debates, and critiques of centralized authority. Its practical value lies less in providing neutral policy analysis and more in showing how a prominent alternative media figure links many contemporary anxieties into a single political narrative. Readers may gain insight into why themes such as free speech, sovereignty, surveillance, public health mandates, and elite institutions have become emotionally powerful within parts of the political culture. The book stands out from similar anti-globalist titles because it is explicitly shaped by Jones's confrontational media persona and his long-standing emphasis on hidden power networks. Compared with more academic critiques of globalization or technology, it is more urgent, direct, and activist in tone. That same quality will limit its appeal for readers who require careful sourcing, balanced argument, or separation between verified institutional critique and speculative claims. It should be read as a primary expression of a controversial political perspective, rather than as a comprehensive account of world events. For sympathetic readers, it offers a rallying framework. For critical readers, it offers a useful case study in contemporary populist anti-globalist rhetoric. If you would like to support Alex Jones, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.